Welcome to the Work is Weird Now podcast. Whether you're nearing retirement, entering the workforce for the first time, or caught somewhere in the confusing muddle in the middle, you're likely sensing it and you're probably living it. We know we are, and we want to know why. Listen in as we interview experts and everyday people like you to find out how best to navigate the ever-growing weirdness of work in the modern age.
Hey, Alice.
Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
Well, we've just had 8 hours of each other, haven't we?
We have.
Recorded 4 episodes of season 3.
Yes, in this very small, windowless, but wonderful podcast studio.
Fueled by 2 fabulous AV technicians.
Yes, who are currently looking at us and smiling wearily.
Thank you. So we're going to look back before we look forward, but I'm feeling so enlightened as always after our conversations. But we just wanted to take a moment between seasons to pause, reflect and look back on season 2, which has been a whirlwind but a real gear change in what this podcast and what Work is Weird Now could become, and just think about some of the highlights of those conversations. So do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Let's start with Jess Rad, who was the first guest that we had. She came on to talk about topics related to neurodiversity in the workplace and some of those unspoken challenges that prevent the gender gap from fully closing. So some things that maybe we haven't considered, when I certainly hadn't considered a lot of the things that we discussed, which were really useful for me. And I think a couple of things that jumped to mind is I hadn't really thought about the barriers for people who are responsible for caring for people at home. And I wasn't aware of the statistics around how many people are forced to leave the workforce because they have caring responsibilities, which is actually something that we are going to look more into in season 3. And it was just a really enlightening conversation from that perspective.
Yeah, truly phenomenal. And she's a powerhouse in her own right. And so many conversations around women and diversity and menopause and all of those things, and why women are such a fantastic asset to the workforce, but there's just this huge drop off, you know, and that was really enlightening. But also from a setup perspective and being truly inclusive of neurodivergent people in the process leading into the podcast itself, Jess really held the mirror up, because I thought that I was pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? I always thought that I approached these things from a really mindful way and approach, and Jess actually said to me that she would have liked a few more visibility on some of the questions, which you know, really, really made me stop and think, oh my goodness, I'm not as inclusive as I actually thought that I was. And I was really, really pleased that she gave me that feedback and gave us that feedback, because it's just changed how I approach some different situations for interview setups.
Yeah, and it, you know, we are effectively providing a place of work or part of people's places of work, and we have a responsibility as much as everybody else who's providing a place of work to think about these things. And she was she definitely shone a light for me on how to be more inclusive of people who are autistic or who have various neurodiversity challenges. So exactly, really valuable.
So thank you for that, Jess, and it was also amazing to meet you in real life unexpectedly.
Fabulous lipstick and just generally a great vibe as well.
Absolutely. And next up was Toby Crosby. I loved this conversation because of the way in that Toby approached shining the light on being a father, and how it's almost overlooked. Like he's like, you know, everyone tells you that becoming a dad, you're not going to sleep for the first year. And he's like, no one tells you and nobody talks to you about way beyond the sleepless nights, like the challenges that comes with kids being off sick, getting the phone call, 2 working parents, like he's a dad, he's a CEO, he's a founder of businesses, and just these things that are just glossed over or swept under the carpet. He was like, no, we're not doing that anymore. I'm going to have those open challenges, and I've just got a lot of admiration for that.
Yeah, and I think we've only just scratched the surface in terms of the conversation around what men are facing at work. I think it's very easy to talk about what women are facing at work because it's a topic that we're very close to and it's people that we know in our network, and it is a topic that's regularly surfaced. But you know, there was just an article this week in The Guardian about how men are struggling to show up and be themselves at work because they're concerned about saying or doing the wrong thing. And I think it's definitely a reality we need to consider as well in the wider context of what's happening at work right now. So I think hopefully looking forward, we'll be able to have more discussions around men.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's really found his niche. So he's been very, very clear on what his values and his pillars are. And that's exactly what he's talking about on his LinkedIn platform. And I think that's really great to lead that conversation.
Great. Yeah. So moving on, we had Christian, who was a really great guest as well. I mean, the man is a true pro and was a great character to have on the podcast, had loads of interesting things to say. But I think what was useful about that, especially after we'd spoken to Jess and Toby, for me, was that it actually zoomed out and looked at the organizational level again. Mm. And I think some of the things that Toby and Jess highlighted were these frictions that exist between employees and organizations. And actually, what Christian highlighted is that organizations often aren't doing themselves any favors by forcing their people to sign up to processes and systems that are just not built for humans and are actually there to serve the organization but don't consider the impact they have on people. So that was really valuable for me.
Honestly, the commentary around company inductions lives rent-free in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I smile about it quite frequently when the topic of an induction comes up, because we've all been there. Like, most people have gone through one of those processes. You know, you've really built up through the interview and you've bought into this brand, and then you get the job, you sign the paperwork, and you go to a company induction on day one and you think, really?
Yeah, let's kill.
Yeah, is this? Yeah, really? So I love that, and that's just the work that he does is really. I love his AI-generated content. So Go check him out. Next up was Slavina, and one of our guests today just walked in and quoted Slavina, and I loved that. So after the groundbreaking conversation that we had with Alistair in season one, all about AI and the machine. Your first question was, why isn't anybody talking about women in AI? And they were. We just hadn't truly looked for it and found it. And we found Slavina. And what an insightful woman that is paving the way and leading this conversation to enlighten everybody.
Yeah, and I think the great thing about Slavina is she's very aware. And she, as she articulates through the podcast, she's very aware of the challenges. She's very aware of the massive disparity between the men building AI and the women who are not building AI, men using AI, women not using AI, the biases that are built into AI already, which are sort of anti-women and anti-other groups as well, not just women. So she's very educated and up to speed on that, and yet holds a fairly uncritical view of that. So she isn't there to kind of continuously disparage the industry. What she's actually trying to do is just make sure that people are looking at it so that we're aware. And this doesn't just happen without us having some sort of understanding of the impact it could have. And I think just from the standpoint of ultimately she's quite positive, or at least she's neutral, but just really encouraging everybody to just know what's going on and just be aware of it, because it's absolutely our responsibility to do so.
And just that mindset shift. So very, very simple. Women feel like they're cheating if they're using AI, whereas men tend to not think that way. And just stop and think about that for a minute. Just stop and think. So yeah, what an amazing conversation. Next we went on to a real coaching session with Nicholas Charlotte around this theme of feeling stuck. And I think anybody can relate to this, because we've all been at some sort of impasse in our life where we're just a bit stuck. And it doesn't mean that you're trying to make a big life decision or a big pivot or anything like that, but just not quite sure what is next. And the practical guidance that she put around that, and actually stopping to think about what fulfillment means to you and then carving out the path from there, is really, really been powerful.
Yeah, and I think Nicola also highlighted something that I hadn't been thinking much about. And I think I have this tendency, especially in all the conversations we're having about AI, and Slavina had been the episode before that, that I tend to spiral a little bit. I'm like, oh my God, what are we facing? What is this world we're facing? And if you spend 5 minutes looking into what the potential future of AI and work is, you can drive yourself crazy, right, with concern and wondering what's going to mean for your kids and things like that. And Nicola actually just brought it back to, ultimately, you choose which of these conversations you wade into, right? So surround yourself with people who are optimistic about it. It doesn't necessarily mean the solutions are going to come out of that, but it will change your mindset in the moment and change your attitude and help you get through the day, quite frankly. It'll give you a little bit of different perspective and will allow you to make decisions from a place of optimism as opposed to a place of crisis and panicking. Mm. So yeah, that was a really valuable takeaway for me.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole mindset piece is so powerful and important.
Which is actually a very good segue to the guest that we had after that.
A very good segue.
Yes, it's Holly Hobbs, who is just wonderful. We all just loved her so much.
I have quoted Holly Hobbs like probably every day since we met, I think.
She's our 22-year-old CEO who is helping big organizations connect to apprenticeships and to young people to get people into apprenticeships, which is solving and addressing a lot of problems that are currently existing for that generation, which is that they are facing just a completely different work and job landscape than we were when we were that age. And she's really trying to do something productive and making a real impact around getting people, young people, engaged in work. So I think just hearing her perspective, but for me, what ultimately it came down to was she was saying, I had to change my mindset. That's the thing that I can control in an environment where so much is completely beyond our control and so many people are making decisions that are impacting our generation in ways that we can't influence. What we can influence is our response to it. Yeah. And she, those lessons around that is so simple, but just so inspiring. And it gave me a lot of hope for the kinds of skills that I can hopefully impart to my children as they come into the workforce.
Yeah, absolutely. She changed the narrative that I had in my own mind about what apprenticeships are in themselves. So that was really valuable and the level that they go up to. I mean, what she's done from rejection and flipping that into her own business is just, it's phenomenal. It's not even smart. It's phenomenal.
Inspirational.
And yeah, I think, as you say, that whole mindset piece, we live in a world now where everybody's talking on every social media platform about positive mindset and coaching and all those things. And she said herself, she's been fortunate enough to put that framework in around her because it's not provided by school and education. Whereas we do need some of these elements now, such as resilience, positive mindset, to figure these things out. So yeah, there's so many learnings there, whether you're a parent, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a colleague.
Yeah, listen. Give it a listen. Holly.
Kasia, oh, what a powerhouse in the world of
research and work knowledge and endless knowledge about all sorts of different topics.
Yeah, I was about to say it in terms of like cities and development, so many different layers into what she does. What a knowledgeable woman, and the way in which she translates that is very, very clear and very beautifully put. And it's just so great to hear somebody else feel so optimistic about the opportunity that AI brings. Don't want to bring every conversation back to AI, but all roads do lead there. But yeah, she was very optimistic and I really appreciated that because there can be a lot of doom and gloom.
Yeah, and I think she was also, for me, curiosity and action. You know, she is somebody who spends her days coming up with new research projects into the world of work. And she's exploring so many different topics at sort of macro and micro levels and all the various impacts. I mean, she is very much demonstrating our theory, which is that work effectively touches everything.
Yeah.
Right. And so she is there doing the kind of hard work to surface some of those insights every day. And I just thought our conversation was great and allowed me to kind of geek out on some of the topics that I'd been wanting to ask about. So yeah, really enjoyed that episode.
And the trends are shifting back in the favor of cities again. So that's
encouraging.
Encouraging. Yeah. Sure. And then David Brown, that actually went live today.
It did. Yeah.
What do we learn from David? So, I mean, there's some fundamental podcasting things that I learned from David, which I am ultimately grateful for. We got a bit of a schooling, like lesson almost in the first part. And that was really, really insightful.
And very helpful.
Yeah. So we are super grateful for that. And I think we interviewed him quite early on in the season. So some time has passed. So when I've shared all of that resource today, there's that standout statement that no one's ever come for the knowledge workers before. And that really has stuck with me. And it just makes you think about what does that mean? But I think the positive spin on that is, you know, 15 years ago, so many of the jobs didn't exist now. So what does that then mean for the future?
Yeah, very true. And I also took a lot away from David in terms of his authenticity. So he's very much about podcasting as an authentic medium and would argue that actually podcasting is the only remaining authentic medium until you add video to it, and then, you know, you're actually changing the algorithm a bit. But he I think was very invested. He's almost at like the coal face of this work revolution. You know, somebody who's in his 50s who is feeling and has been feeling for a long time the impacts of AI on his work and the work around him, and is trying to innovate and come up with new solutions in the face of that. He's just opened his own podcast studio and that sort of thing. And so it was just quite interesting to speak to somebody about AI who was really facing it alongside some other things that we'll talk about in future episodes around ageism in the workforce and things like that right now. So I think it was just interesting to talk to somebody who wasn't necessarily pontificating about AI and its future from an objective standpoint or from a research standpoint, but actually feeling the impacts and having the impacts for some time. So yeah, that was valuable.
Yeah, really valuable. And then we have got a bonus episode. So I imagine by the time this interlude comes out, the bonus episode will be live. Mm-hmm. And this is with Mark Haywood. And just from a career journey perspective to what he's actually doing now, again, got so many amazing lessons on podcasting in itself. And you'll probably hear the quality and see the quality in that in Mark's video itself.
He's raised our game.
Yes, he's raised our game, hence why we're in a studio today. The whole ethos around their book and program, Don't Quit, around you are, when you're in a corporate and you step out of a corporate, you're instantly nobody. And those words still chime around my ears. And they set you up with all of the things that you need to do and need to be aware of, even if you're not going to action all of them, if you're about to take this leap of faith from corporate to out into consultancy, because you don't have the luxury of all of that framework around you. And that's so important, because it is a big leap into the unknown.
Yeah, and I think also he really drives home the point that we all need to have cognitive flexibility. And I would argue that's not just a tool that you need right now if you are planning on quitting your job and setting up on your own. It's actually, especially in the context of AI and all the things we've been discussing, if you don't have cognitive flexibility and the ability to adapt and change your frame and move away from the things that are comfortable to you, or move away from the skills that you thought you could rely on and shift towards something else and learn something new, then you're not going to be able to survive in this crazy world of work that we find ourselves in. So that really valuable lesson comes through with that episode as well. So definitely make sure you listen to that one.
So that is season two in a wrap. So let's look forward to season three. Who's coming up?
So what's interesting, I'm actually not going to disclose who's coming up. I think we'll let that unfold in real life, mostly because we have a number of episodes we're ready to release and not quite sure what order they're going to appear in. So we'll save that. But I think what you can look forward to is quite a few changes in format. So we are riffing here, like we are learning every day. Every day is a new adventure in how to create a podcast that has some real meaning and value to the people who listen to us. And so you're going to see shorter episodes. We understand the ones before were quite long, and although I think there's a time and a place for that, we also, you know, we respect that people are busy and we want to get to the point faster. To that point, we will be cutting down our intros. We'll be getting into the core question much quicker. So you'll see these things. Maybe you won't entirely perceive them, but hopefully the experience of listening to Work As We're Now in season three will be an even richer experience than what you will have had up to this point.
And potentially leveled up, because as we said, we're in a studio today.
We are. It's very fancy.
Which is huge thanks to Jacobs Massey for helping us and supporting us on this next step up of our journey.
And the Welcome Trust for hosting us.
Absolutely. But there is, we're going global on the next one.
We are actually traveling all the way to India for an episode.
Sadly not
in
person.
We're actually not actually traveling.
We don't have the budget yet, but if anyone wants to sponsor us, then please slide into our DMs.
So thank you all for listening up to this point. We really appreciate all the feedback. We can't even describe the thrill we get when people walk in and say, oh, I just listened to this episode and it was really interesting and we loved it. It means the world to us. And we're always, you know, very open to suggestions and criticisms and anything else you have to say about the podcast. And one more thing, if you'd like to go to one of our streaming platforms and subscribe, apparently that's a really valuable metric. We're just learning. So please do that. That would help us out a lot.
Yeah, thank you. And you can now find us on RSS feeds, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube.
And we have a new monthly newsletter, so subscribe to that through LinkedIn. Thank you. Bye.